Blog Talk Radio.
New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and we're here every Wednesday. We are a blog talk radio on Blog Talk Radio, an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that gives you the opportunity to interact with the speaker or whomever is on. We interact with one another, encouraging each other in the Word of God. This evening we have our scheduled Pastor Dawn Nixon from Long Island, New York, and her topic is 1 Peter 2:9, Amen, Keeping God's Standards. So we're going to move aside and we're going to turn it on over to Pastor Nixon from out of Long Island, New York, and we're going to be obedient to the Word of God, Amen. Pastor Nixon.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Elder Clay. We're so grateful again to be on the line on tonight. I pray that some of our Mount Calvary members are on this line as well tonight. I believe that God has something to say to all of you. I pray that you will receive what God has to say. As Elder Clay said, we are going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we will be reading actually verses 9 and 10. But I want to have a word of prayer with you as we get ready to go into the word of the Lord. Our Father and our God, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to bring in your word. We pray, oh God, today that something is said that will set free and deliver or allow us to see ourselves and allow us to make those changes through your word. God, for we know that your word is a light unto our feet and that you are guiding us through this pathway. And God, as we go forth according to whatever your word and your will is for our life, we pray that we will be able not only to make life-changing decisions for us, but we will be able to sow seeds into the life of others that they will be able to make changes as well. And God, we're just grateful to you on this night to be able to share in the word of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed, amen and amen. I want to take for a topic on tonight, keeping God's standards. Keeping God's standards. I'm finding that in this particular time and season, there are many who are dealing with struggles that they're going through, and one of the most difficult things is for us to keep the standards of God in this time of holiness when we are bombarded with so many other things that our flesh desires. We're going to go and start reading 1 Peter chapter 2, start at verse 9, and it reads there, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Let's stop right there. I want us to understand that who we are, we were chosen. We were brought out of generations of generations. God has preordained us to be where we are. And there are many people who are called, as the Bible says, but there are few who are chosen. Everybody is not going to accept the will of God for their life, even though everybody has the opportunity. And it's how we choose to live our life. We're not just a chosen generation, but we have royalty. Anytime we have now connected with Christ, it makes us royal. He's the one who makes us and justifies us. If I break that word justify down, he makes it just as if we had never sinned. So it is nothing, any goodness of our own, but because of God's mercy for our life, because of his love for us, and no matter how much sin we have committed in our life, God has found a way to allow his blood to wash us white as snow. No, we are not perfect, but we have been put in a position where God has pulled us out, brought us out to make us a generation that is royal, and not only that, but a holy nation, different people, peculiar people. And the reason why that was all done was that we would show forth his praises of him who has called us out of a dark place. We have to understand, before we knew who God was, we were in a dark place. And a lot of times there are people who are still walking in darkness and are clueless to where they are because they have been so comfortable and have adjusted to life's ways, they don't even realize that they're walking in darkness. And not until we get to an understanding that we can see a glimpse of light, because at some point in time, all of us who have connected with Christ, put on the mind of Christ, started walking in the ways of Christ, when we did that, it caused an altering change in our life, and we recognized, and one of the reasons why we got to that place is because we saw that there was something wrong with us. There was more to us than what we knew. And I often say this, maybe around age 16, 17, 18 years old, that's when we try to find ourselves. We're looking for who we are. Who am I really? And that is just to show us that we have not tapped in to who God has called us to be. This is a time and season when we're fighting with the flesh and fighting with the things of God, because I want to still do the things of my flesh, but I find myself in a place where I'm battling the things of my flesh because I know what's right to do, but I choose not to do it because it doesn't feel so good. And oftentimes, things that feel good normally are not necessarily the right things to do. And I'm not saying in all cases, but there are times when we are supposed to do the right thing, we find ourselves in a place where it seems as difficult for us to do it. But God has a way of showing us that no matter how difficult your race is or how difficult your struggle is, he has a way of pulling you out in the time that you need it. There is a difficult time in this season and in this generation for us to be in a place that we're in and not walk with Christ. I don't know how people who do not know God personally as their Savior, how they're capable of going through life struggles without him. Oftentimes when we are dealing with our problems and our struggles in life, most of the time the things that we've caused ourselves to go into, we find ourselves getting on our knees and talking to the Lord then. A lot of times people don't talk to God until trouble arrives. And so when we get to the place where we understand that we need God not only in trouble and struggle, but we need God for all the days of our life. So he has called us out as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Let's deal with the word holy. Oh, my God. This word holy is a word that people often run away from. And I realize that no matter what the signs of the times are, holiness is still right. We got to realize that holiness is right even if we realize that it is difficult for us to do. No matter how difficult it is to live a lifestyle of holiness, it's still right. And it's not going to alter and change because it seems too hard for you to do. God has set a standard for his people to do, a judgment to live by, so that we have to understand that we have to live according to those standards of God, even when it's difficult for us to do so, when our flesh fights against it. Okay, we're living in a day where the world is consumed, let's say, by reality shows. The reality is that the reality shows is a surface line of truth mixed with a lot of drama, which bewilders me because there are so many people who have enough drama without looking at reality shows, but yet and still, we look at all of these things on TV, on the internet, we look at all these different things, and we find ourselves living out the lifestyle that we see portrayed before us. I believe there's enough drama that we can go through in life that we can tell our own story. But the truth is that the pressure of the ratings of the different TV shows, the more drama they have, the more ratings they have, that means the more people will watch it. And we find ourselves now even in the church where we're trying to accept the worldly things so that we can be politically correct with everyone. The Bible lets us know in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I'm not a perfect individual. I can't do, I'm not one who dots every I and cross every T. God is not looking for the perfect person. He's looking for the person who is in a place where they're willing to give their life to him so that he can make things perfect for us. And so when we come to the understanding that there has to be a conforming, there has to be a changing of mind, there has to be a willingness to be renewed and restored to our proper place in God. God has done all of these things because when we are in a place where we realize that we were in darkness, now we have now been brought to the light. In other words, when you know better, you do better. And when you do better, it will cause you to want to let people know who Jesus really is in your life. When you've had experience with God, I know in my life I have dealt with struggles and I've dealt with things in my life that I know that the only reason why I got out of the situation that I went through was because of the mercy of God. Not only that, but God's covering. Not only that, but God kept me, because there are certain things that I may have gone through in life and you may have gone through in life that other people went through that did not survive it. They did not survive it physically. They did not survive it mentally. They did not survive it financially. Whatever it was, they did not survive it. And I know that the only reason that I am a survivor in so many courses in my life is because God has sustained me. And how in the world can I have a God who loves me so much, who does so much for me, and I'm not willing to do what he has called us to do? Verse 10 in this particular chapter of 1 Peter 2:10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Now, let's stop there, because in times past, we didn't belong to God. We were in a place when he made Adam and Eve. We were designed and we belonged to God. But when we were cut off because of sin, we found ourselves lost in a dark place. And that's where the scripture talks about, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. God has connected us or reconnected us to himself. Now, the reason why he has connected us, he didn't just reconnect us to himself without putting us in a place where we needed something in order for us to survive this life until God brings us back to himself. It says, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, I can't. My Bible students may be on this line, and one thing we often say, we thank God for mercy. We thank God for mercy. Why? Because if it wasn't for the mercy of God, he could have wiped us out all at one time. He could have left us all at one time. So we realize that. Please put your phone on mute. We realize that when we are in a place where God has given us his mercy, there is no way we can live this life without the mercy of God. If some of us just think about the things that we've done in the last 10 years, 5 years, 5 weeks ago, 5 days ago, 5 hours ago, there's no way that we could have done the things that we've done thinking that we've gotten away with it because of the mercy of God. I often say something else is I tell people the mercy of God is not a sign of God's weakness, but it is his love for us in the time of our weakness. God has covered us. God has covered us in a place where if it wasn't for his grace and his mercy sustaining us, we would have not been able to go through the things that we're going through. Let's see this. We have to understand that for all of those who think that, okay, the reason I've committed sin. I've done something that I know was not pleasing to God, but I got away with it. It's not a matter of getting away with it. It is not a matter of that God is ignorant to the fact of what we've done. It's not that God has not looked upon us. But what you have to understand is that the blood of Jesus is what's covering us. And so when God looks at us, all he sees is the blood of Jesus. And so it's not that we've got away with something. It's because God, Jesus, is standing in the gap for us. Because if he didn't stand in the gap for us so that another sheep, another bullock, so another dove did not have to be slaughtered, Jesus stands in the gap. And so whenever God looks at the world, he looks at us with the blood of Jesus covering us. So it's not that we got away with it. It's because God, Jesus, covered us so that when he looked on us, he didn't see anything that we've done, because his blood covers a multitude of sin. They used to sing a song when I was growing up, "When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And it talks about how he passed over those in the time of when the children of Israel were in Egypt, because the blood stain that was covered over the door. Now the blood stain is covered over our lives, and so it is because of that we have obtained mercy from God. So we are in a place where we are in a season where sin is so great. It is so great in our lives, and what we must understand is that each generation becomes more wicked than the last generation. But because we choose to live a life of holiness and live a standard life. Let's understand. Like I said, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. People of God, I don't want you to beat yourself up because you're fallen. I don't want you to beat yourself up because you didn't do things right. I don't want you to beat yourself up because things have happened and the whole world sees it. See, because now we're not living in a day where it's just those who are around you who know your business. But now it has hit social media, and when things hit social media, it's not just amongst your local peers, but it's amongst the whole entire world. And so we're facing things that are going on in life that we really, really need God now more than ever before. We have to take a stand even when it's not the popular thing. It's not always popular to do the right thing with people, because we have people who will make excuses. We are in the 21st century, and we have people, as I often say in my Bible class, God knows my heart, and because God knows my heart, I'm going to do me. And the dangers, you have to understand there is a danger in doing you. If you really know you and you are not walking in the will and the ways of God, if I do me, everything I do about me ain't going to be right. And everything that I do is not going to walk according to the will or the standards of God. So I can't do me. I have to do the things of God. And so it's not a popular thing to do, because we know that sin is going to reign in the world, but the foundation of being holy is always going to be right. When we know who we are and we know whose we are, we will be careful what we do and how we do it. If I know that I am a representation of Christ, then I'm going to make sure, especially when you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. I love the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Holy Ghost every day. And the reason why I thank God for the Holy Ghost, because when I'm about to make my step to do something out of the will of God, I find that the Holy Ghost reels me in. He speaks to me. The Holy Ghost speaks to me to let me know that when he's speaking to me, that I know whether or not this is a good move to make or not. He leads me and he guides me in truth. That's what the Holy Ghost does. The Spirit of the Lord leads us and guides us in all truth. And so a lot of times we get confused, because when we hear, oftentimes we think we hear the voice of God, but what happens when the voice of God sounds like your voice? The voice of God sounds just like you. See, you've got to understand that when I hear him, he's coming through, and it sounds like my voice. But I have enough anointing of God, enough spiritual discernment to know this is what God is saying to me. This is not the right move, or this is the right move, and this is the direction and the path that I'm supposed to go to. Oftentimes when we hear the word of the Lord coming to us and it doesn't agree with our spirit, we often question the things of God. Anytime God says to you, I want you to go bless sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so with $1,000, that's when we start questioning, is this the will of God? But when the tables are turned, that the Lord says to you that God's going to send somebody to you to bless you with $1,000, you know it's God. So you've got to know the hear the voice of God clearly that I'm going to walk in the way. And God has set his standard. He has set his foundation. But it seems so hard because sometimes we make excuses for the things we want to do. I've seen people who try to alter the word of God to try to fit their situation so they can do what they want to do. It is not going to alter and change because you showed up in whatever year you showed up. It doesn't matter if it was 1954, 1969, 1970. Whenever you show up, God does not alter his word to fit mankind. Mankind has to alter himself to fit the word of God. And this is the struggle that we have to go through in life because everybody's trying to reverse the word so that it can fit the signs of the time. You don't have to jump, and you don't have to do all the stuff that we have to do. Last week how the body of Christ is trying to alter the things of God through our young people. Oh, my God. The Bible lets us know that with loving kindness, we draw them. And a lot of times, we're trying to use different things, techniques, to draw our young people. And to a degree, it's good because we want our young people to come to church. But the foundation of what God has set in order does not alter or change. I did a sermon one Sunday morning. It was called Structure May Change, but Foundation Remains the Same. God's word does not change for anybody. We must change for the word of God. And when we change for the word of God, our lives become better. They don't become perfect, but they become better. Because now I'm not walking in this way, or I'm not walking according to the will of God on my own without any way of sustaining my life. And so we've got to understand, the Bible lets us know in Psalms 103, it lets us know that the Lord, he is God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You have to understand, we are not our own. And this is the struggle that a lot of people have. A lot of people have with getting saved. They realize that I am no longer my own. When I turn my life over to God for real, that means that I'm giving God full control of my life. Because God is not going to take control of your life unless you are a willing vessel to give it to him. And when you are a willing vessel, when I know that he is my God and it is he has made us, listen, I'm going to put myself in a place where if God designed me, that means God knows how everything works. He knows how the blood flows. He knows how the heart flows. He knows how the kidneys work. He knows how the mind works. He knows everything about me. He knows the hairs on my head. They have been numbered. They're not counted. They are numbered. That means he knows when 345 has been dyed, turned gray, has been cut. He knows exactly who I am. And because he knows who I am, I have allowed myself to be put or placed in the hand of God. So when trouble arises in my life, whether it be my heart, whether it be my kidneys, whether it be my blood flow, whatever's going on in my life, I can go to my original designer and ask God to heal me. And he will answer me. So I says, well, I don't believe in doctors. I believe God gave doctors here for a reason. I was talking to my mother today. My mom thanked God for doctors because my mother wouldn't be here. very fact that the doctor told my mom, because of her heart condition, the only reason why she's still alive is because of the pacemaker and defibrillator that she has in her heart. If she did not have it, she would no longer be here. She would have transitioned. But that pacemaker is keeping her beat to her heart, because the heart no longer is able to beat on its own. And so I believe God gives doctors skill to be able to help us survive, and that's a process and a way of healing. Yes. You've got to realize that there are some ways that God allows things to happen in order for us to live. It's not always going to come by the laying on of hands. Sometimes you're going to have to go through surgery. Sometimes you're going to have to go through certain things in life. But if God is a keeper, my God, I thank him tonight, because God has kept us and he has blessed us and he has designed things for us. And when we get to the place where we realize that I'm just a sheep in the pasture of God, I give myself over to God. There's a song out that says, "I give myself away so that you can use me." So that you can use me. We often want to be used by God, but we don't want to go through the process that we have to go to be used by him, to be a vessel of God. Oh, my God. In order for us to be a vessel of God, we have to do it God's way. We cannot do it the ways we think God would do it. That's why we have to consult God in everything that we do. We have to consult God for relationships. We have to consult God for things that we're going to endeavor to go into as far as jobs, careers. Let me share with some of you tonight, because there may be someone who is about to make a career change or a change. Know that whatever you're going to do, consult God. Pray about it. Just don't jump into it because they're offering you six figures. Because a lot of times we get trapped in jobs and we find ourselves in situations or positions that we're there because the money is good, but you're unhappy and you're miserable. And, there's so many people who have given up on six-figure jobs, not because they didn't need the money, but because they'd rather have the peace of God and a peace of mind than have to deal with the frustrations that they have to deal in this world. And so when we realize that we are royalty, and as royalty, there's a certain way or standard that we have to keep. We're not better than anybody else. We're peculiar. We're different. And that's what I love about it, because I don't have to be what everybody says in society says I have to be, but I have to be what God says I am. Because, first of all, I know who I am, and I know whose I am. And because I know who I am, I cannot live to the standard according to the world's standard, but I have to live according to God's standard. And I tell you, it takes a real man and it takes a real woman to surrender their life to God. Because, like I said, it's not the popular thing to do. But now that I know him, now that I've turned my life over to God, I wouldn't change it for nothing in this world. There's another song that says, "You can have this old world, but I'll take Jesus for mine." Why? Because when you have the peace of God, the love of God, and there are those who may be listening right now who have been in a place where they've suffered depression, they've suffered grief and loss, they've suffered, and it seems like they're being hit back to back to back. But the mercy of God is sustaining you. And that's why I thank the Lord, because even though I'm in the world, I am not of the world. And I believe when people grasp hold to the things of God, especially when we're dealing with what we're dealing with in society now, we really don't know, even in our government, what we are going to face in the years to come. How in the world are we going to go through the things that we go through? I don't deal with politics or anything like that, but I know now more than ever, when we're dealing with this political race, I need God more than ever. And I can't confirm with what's going on out there. All I know is God is a keeper. And what I also know is that while going around me, God is going to sustain me because I am a child of God. I am a royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. I am a peculiar people. I am of God. I have obtained the mercy of God. Not only that, but I am a sheep of his pasture. And that, because of that, I get to enter into his gates. That's the thing about it. After all we go through in life, I'm living this life to live again. There is a purpose. There's a method behind the madness of what we do as children of God. When we go to a place of worship and we lift our hands and we give ourselves to God and we worship him, we totally give ourselves to God. And we give God praise because that's what we were made for. We were made to worship and praise God. And I give it my all. Why? Because I am living this life to live again. And you've got to realize that I'm storing up. Every time I praise God, I'm storing up the things that I need for God. That's why I tell people, if you're going to go to your home church, go to home church with a praise on your lips, a thank you in your heart, and a worship in your mouth. Why? Because when you do that, it stores up the things in heaven. And what it does is it gives you kingdom credit. Oh, that's such kingdom credit is a wonderful thing, because when I don't have what I need at the moment, it's just like this. Even if my rent is due or my mortgage is due, God will allow kingdom credit to come right when I need it and find that is the favor of God that comes over my life because I have set forth worship and praise in the heavens. And so when I need him, God allows me to get what I need when I need it. And you've got to understand, a lot of times when God doesn't move when you want him to move, he is setting you up for a wonderful thing. Y'all don't understand. We get panicked. We get anxious because God didn't move when we thought he should move. He didn't do what he thought, what we thought he should have done. But I've come to the conclusion that God knows better than I do. He knows me better than I know me. He knows what's about to take place in my future while I'm sitting in my present. And I'm panicking about my future when God already knows what's lying ahead. And he's already made a way of escape for me in my future while I'm panicking my present. I come to let y'all know, God already knew when he had the disciples on the ship that he was resting in the lower part of the ship, and the storm arose. And they began to panic. They began to get upset. They began to cry out to God, "Master, care us not that we are about to be destroyed." They wake Jesus up out of his sleep. Oh, my God. And they're panicking because they thought the storm was over, going to overtake them. Jesus simply comes out of his rest, and he comes up to the boat, and he speaks to the thing that was causing them to panic. He speaks to the thing that was causing them to lose their minds. And I'm telling somebody on tonight that the thing that is causing you to panic, God is waking up in your situation, and he's going to speak to the thing that is causing you to panic, and he's going to tell it, "Peace, be still." And so while you're going through, know this, that God is speaking to your situation even when you don't see him. God is resting in your situation. And if God is not in a place where he's panicked, don't you panic, because God is going to set your house in order. Mm-hmm. That's why I live the life that I live, because I'm going to live right. I'm going to do my best to live right. Why? Because I want to know that whenever I go through what I'm going through, my storms and my rains, that God has got my back, because he's going to take care of me, and because I've taken care of his kingdom building. And so I want us to understand that it's not always easy keeping God's standard, but it is necessary. It is necessary, and even in keeping God's standards, there are going to be troubles that you're going to face. But if you give it over to God, as they said, turn it over to Jesus, turn it over to Jesus, and everything will be all right. Somebody says, "Pastor, that's easy said than done." When we get to a place, a mature level in God, you've got to understand there's a difference. That when you've got to a place where you're a mature level in God and you know God because you've had experience with God, because you've gone through trial and tribulation and he brought you out once and he's brought you out again, you've got to the place where you learn how to trust him when you can't trace him. You learn how to trust God even though seems like you're about to be overtaken. That's when you get to a place like Jesus where you rest in the storm. You rest in the areas in life where you know that if God don't do it, I'm going to be overtaken. But whatever his will is, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. That particular song that was sung was written by a man who had lost his two daughters. And his wife was on the ship with the two daughters, and a great storm came, and his two daughters were lost on that ship. And word got back to him, and his wife let him know that she was a survivor, only survivor. He lost all of his children. And he picked up a pen and said, "With peace like a river, attended my way." And when he did that, he said, "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say." He said, it is well with my soul. And so we've got to get to a place when things do happen in our lives, we've got to get to a place where we say, it is well. It is because of God that I have not lost it. It is because of God that the struggles that I go through, that I am able to get out of it. It is because of God that I am able to sustain and live my life because I keep the standards of God. I'm getting ready to open up the line to those who want to share, have any questions that you may want to ask on tonight, that even tonight that you might be able to share with somebody else to encourage your sisters and brothers. Let me tell you, we're living in a day where we need to be encouraged by one another. Somebody needs to know that they're not going through storms by themselves, but they are those who are out there that need an encouraging word, that are in agreement with me on tonight, that says, "Pastor, that I'm trying my best to live my life according to the will and the ways of God, because I need God to continue to keep his mercy on my life." The lines are open for anybody that would like to share on tonight. God bless you.
Amen. All the mics are open.
Well, amen, amen. My name is Evelyn. I go to Pastor Dawn's church right now, and I just recently gave my life back to God last August, and when I was saved, you know, like the last 7 years I was backslidden, but before that, when I was saved, I didn't give everything to the Lord. But this time I told the Lord just to take everything, to take all my sins that I committed, I confessed them, and I just gave my whole, everything I am back to him, because before, like I said, before I kept something, I said, even though I didn't do the sin, I still kept it. I didn't give it to him. I just told him that I just want to. I like it, so I'm not going to give it up like that. Even though I didn't commit the sin at all, and then I started getting back into the lifestyle that I was in. But I know about, you know, the thing, this holy nature, this holy generation that it is that she was talking about. It's like, you know, being holy to me is like just continuing to try to do what God's will, have God's will in your life. Continue to keep trying to do what he wants you to do. Not what I want to do, but what he wants me to do. And I'm so grateful, you know, for Pastor. She opened up a lot of scriptures to me that I didn't really understand this last few Bible studies. And she's a solid word that makes me, that gives me revelation about what's going on in my life right now. I have so many things that I'm facing, like their trials and tribulations right now, but I just have God. God is, he just makes me be comfortable with it. I'm at peace with it because I know that he's going to see me through all of these things. And this it's like a prophetic word to me right now that I was thinking about changing my job working with a different person, and because it's going to be a little bit more money, but, you know, I've been praying about it, and I've been fasting about it also, but, you know, we just got to keep doing the will of God. We have to not, I don't want what's going on with me to be going on with just what I want anymore. I want the will of God in my life right now. That's all I want. I want nothing else but that. And I just want to thank you for the.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God be the glory. Amen. Amen.
Anyone else want to share? That's a blessing, Sister Evelyn, because I tell you, a lot of people are not willing to give up, like I said, because it's too hard for them. And we'd rather embrace what's comfortable than do the right thing that God wants us to do. And each step becomes easier. Mm-hmm. But you have to get through the hard place in order to allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. Is there somebody else that wants to share on tonight?
Amen.
Hi, this is Brenda in Florida.
Amen.
Hi, Sister Brenda.
Hi, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
I just wanted to say, Pastor, I tell you, when we find out who we are in Christ, and realize how special we are and how we have the favor of God upon our lives, there's nothing you can accomplish. And when we realize that, things, the obstacles just start moving out of the way like a broom.
Amen.
You just spin it right on out the way. And I just thank you for that. I thank you for that today.
God bless you. God bless you, Mother. I tell you that it is important that we understand that as the favor of God is so important, because the problem we have is that we want everything right now all at the same time, not realizing that we're not going to be able to handle all the blessings of God all at once. Because you got to realize he is going to open up a window of heaven to pour you out a blessing. It doesn't say blessing. It says a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. You can't handle all the blessings of God. And see,
that's good.
I'm going to pour out a blessing, a single blessing.
That's good.
And in that blessing, you're only going to be able to handle. He said, you're not even going to be able to handle that. You won't have room enough to receive. So actually, you're not even dealing with the blessings that are in the cup. You're dealing with the blessing of the overflow before you even get to the cup. So you have to understand the favor of God that's over your life, that when you have him, you have the favor of God. There's no way in the world that you can't walk in the will of God and God not bless you at some point in time. That will sustain you through your day. Just a blessing. A blessing. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Good evening, Dawn.
Yes.
I just wanted to say the true blessings, or the blessings of the Lord, have come through my life on this moment since I've been at Calvary has been overwhelming. I look at it as good. I've given myself up to Christ, and it's still a learning process, a big learning process. It's always going to be a learning process, but I appreciate Mount Calvary. I appreciate the things that have come through Mount Calvary and the word that has been spoken from Bible studies, Sunday school, services, just things going out in the community has uplifted me and people around me, and that's very encouraging. And as I walk now, as the path is being led now, just trying to find true understanding in how the word is going through. And this last month has been very eye-opening and trying to find direction, but it's good. It's not bad. It's good. So I pray constantly. That's the only thing I know how to do is pray. I've learned through the scriptures, through the Bible, from my 52 years on this earth, I learned how to pray. And I just thank you, and I thank Mount Calvary. I thank people that are around me that are in this circle to keep me uplifted. I thank you, Pastor.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Anybody else? Because I'm going to throw a question out there.
I just want to say that I enjoyed this message. And when you talked about the disciples, when they were in the boat and how anxious they were and how panicked they were and how the storms of life, the storms that was raging around them, they went down. I like this part right here where you said they woke him out of his rest.
Yeah.
And he came out of his rest. He came up. And not only did he say, peace be still, but he made peace be still in their heart. In their heart. Because the Bible also says that men's heart will fail them because of fear. And they were in fear and panic. And I see where you're saying that even though the storms of life is a raging around us, the peace of God can still us, can calm us, can keep us. And it is in that secret place, hallelujah, where the inside, when we go in, when the inside, if we allow God to come in the inside, will calm everything on the outside because we found that resting place.
Amen. Well, I'm going to throw a question out there for you, and maybe somebody can help me out and with this. If somebody can just tell me how life was before Christ and life was how life has been after Christ. Just give me some of your experiences. Anybody's open to anybody that you can kind of share. And I want to hear your truth because there are a lot of people who feel like since they've been on this side with Christ that things have not been that great. But want to answer that question, how your life was before and after Christ.
Well, I could say like before when I was backslidden, I was always fearful about what was going to happen next, you know, because I knew what I was doing was wrong. So I was so much more fearful, you know. Sometimes I have fear right now about certain situations that I'm in, and I say, you know, I need this, I need that, and all these different things. But and without God, without paying attention to God, listening to God, and having His will in your life, everything is like so dark and grim. I just didn't know what was, you know, what was going to happen next because I know what I was doing was not in His will. And now that I'm walking in His will, it's, you know, it is a zillion times better. I'm listening to Him. I hear His voice. And like, I had a situation last week, though, where I was like, Lord, where am I going to get this money for this stuff? I know I'm doing everything You're telling me to do. I'm walking in His will, and I just didn't see it coming. Then all of a sudden, that same day, something came in the mail that eliminated that problem just like that in 2 seconds, and I just started crying. I was so happy. I was crying like somebody was killing me, and I just could not stop crying for like about 20, 30 minutes. I was just crying. Every time I tried to pull myself together to thank Him, I was just crying. I mean, the hardest. I never cried like that in my life, but it was happy, but it was powerful. I just couldn't believe, you know. Not that I couldn't believe, but He always amazes me every single time, you know, and that's the big difference where, you know, to get the blessing of God instead of curses.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes. I would say before I got in touch into Mount Calvary, I was a whole other person as far as looking at and I either tried the suicide thing and all of that because I felt I didn't have my family backing. And with all the medical problems that I was having, I was always either being laughed at or it was always a problem. So I was out. Even though I know it was hurting me, I didn't have no one. So I was strike out as far as even hurting myself just for like attention and stuff. But once I started, you know, going to Calvary, you know, at first I didn't think anyone was going to understand me. But once I had started going, I still need to be stronger. But every now and then I do still backslide to where I have to hide stuff because I'd be feeling like I did something wrong if it's not as right as I want it to be. So I still backslide a little bit. And as far as with my family, I still feel they should be stronger with me and pay more attention than I paid to them. and that's usually my whole thing because I tried too hard, and I was taught that by pastor that I try a little too hard sometimes. But I just basically do that because at one time I felt I didn't have no way. But once I started going to Calvary, I walked in backwards because I felt that the demons, because they stayed on me. So I walked in Calvary backwards because I didn't want to bring them with me. So I walked in backwards. And like every time I go there, I feel better at Facebook there than I do at my own house. So therefore, that's why every time I walk in, I praise him. And then, like, when I go home, it feels like a whole other different world pops up.
Because I want us to understand, because we're getting ready to come to a close. We got about 5 more minutes, if that. I just want to share to you, because out of that scripture in 1 Peter 2 and 9, it says to us, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. Listen, before I knew God, I was in the darkness. And that's before Christ. As Sister Evelyn was saying, she was talking about it was dark place, it was hard, it was difficult, there was things in there that made life difficult for me, but then when I crossed over to a marvelous light, in other words, when I got my godly knowledge, I knew how to do, what to do, and when to do. Why? Because now I'm doing things differently because I'm not walking in the dark. I'm in the light. I can see clearly now because darkness is gone. And so now because the darkness is gone, I am able and capable of sustaining life as it should be. So I'm going to, I'm getting ready to turn it over to Pastor Clay because we got about 4 minutes. I just want to pray with everyone tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank everyone is on this line tonight. I pray, God, that something was said today that will be life-changing for all those who are listening all over. I pray, oh God, today that you will let them know that their giving and their worship and their praise is not in vain, but they're living their life to live again, and that the standards that they're keeping before you, oh God, I pray tonight that this standard that they're keeping, God, that will glorify your name, that you will get the glory out of all of it. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Somebody clap all over there and just give God your best praise right now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much for this on-time word. As we're in the Lenten season right now and moving closer to Easter, we praise the word of God, and we thank you, Lord, for reminding us that Jesus Christ is the living stone, that he's the stone that the builders rejected, and he's our half stone. And we thank you for reminding us that we are a chosen people.
Yes.
We are a priesthood. That we're a special generation, a holy nation, and that we belong to Father God. We thank you for sharing the word. We thank you for reminding us of who we are and how to walk. We thank you for reminding us to praise God that we've been pulled out of darkness and not to go back. We're reminded of the good news and what lies ahead, that these are our best days that we're walking into. With divine providence in Jesus Christ. With divine promise in Jesus Christ. So we praise you and we praise the Lord and thank Jesus for using you this evening. Such a blessing. Thank you all for praying with us and for studying the word with us this evening. We are New Beginnings Ministries. We're here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Again, we have the archive messages. Something that you missed or something you'd like to go back to, come to our website on Blog Talk Radio, and you can find any message that you want to hear in our archive library. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, so please send us a message. Thank you so much. My mind, it's so hard.
believe.